32nd chapter of Deuteronomy. 32nd chapter. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. I'm going to start reading at verse number 20. And he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be, for they are a very forward generation, children in whom is no faith. They have moved me to jealousy with that which is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their vanities, and I will move them to jealousy with those which are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. For a fire is kindled in mine anger, and shall burn unto the lowest hell, and shall consume the earth with her increase, and set on fire the foundations of the mountains. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, again, I thank you so much for the Word of God. Thank you for this opportunity that we have this morning to gather together here in this place that you've provided for us. I thank you for the Word of God that's preserved for us, thy truthful Word. Lord, it's yours. And Father, I thank you that you've given it to us and preserved it for us. This morning, this preacher again needs your help. He needs your wisdom. He needs your power. And Lord, I just ask as the Word of God goes forward, Lord, he'll be able to do that which needful in each of our lives. We know the Word is capable, but Lord, we need to be willing to let it. And I just ask you, Lord, to do that. If there's any here without Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, I pray today will be the day that they're born into God's family. And Father, again, I pray for we as your children, Lord, that you'll stir our hearts and help us. And Lord, help us to love you as we should. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to preach a message this morning, which I've entitled, What Makes God Mad? In this portion of Scripture, we find that God's anger was kindled so much in verse number 22 that he said that his anger, if fire is kindled in my anger, and shall burn into the lowest hell, and shall consume the earth with her increase, and set on fire the foundations of the mountains. God's anger was so great at Israel at this time, he set on fire the very foundations of the mountains of this earth. I want to read a little bit before this and see what were some of the things that Israel was doing that caused God's anger to be so great. I'm going to start up at verse number 5, and he says, they have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of his children. They are a perverse and crooked generation. Do ye thus requite the Lord, O foolish people and unwise? Is not he thy father that hath brought thee? Hath he not made thee and established thee? Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee, thy elders, and they will tell thee. When the Most High divideth to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He found him in the desert land and in the waste, howling wilderness. He led him about and instructed him to keep, and he kept him as the apple of his eye. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over his young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. So the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. If you notice here, he's going back, giving a little bit of history of Israel and telling the things that God done for Israel and how good God was to them, how he fluttered over them like an eagle over the nest and protected them and took care of them. And when they would fall, he would come underneath them and pick them up on his wings. See, like an eagle does her eaglet. And he was telling and giving a little bit of a history again of how good he had been to Israel. Then we skip down into verse number 15. But Jerusalem waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat. Thou art growing thick. Thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God, which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. You know, one of the great dangers is for us to lightly esteem Jesus Christ. He is the rock of our salvation, and it's a dangerous thing. Come to the house of God and don't give him what he needs and give him his honor and his glory. It's up to us to do that. He's the one who saved us. He's the rock of our salvation. And to lightly esteem that as counted as something lightly in the eyes of God is very, very serious. And he says, they provoked him to jealousy with strange gods. And he says, with abominations provoked they him to anger. They sacrificed their unto devils, not to God, to gods whom they knew not, to new gods that come newly up, whom your fathers feared not. Of the rock that begot thee, thou art unmindful and has forgotten God that formed thee. And when the Lord saw it, he abhorred them because of the provoking of his sons and of his daughters. And then, of course, we had just read the other portion of Scripture there. But those are the things that cause God to be mad. You see, when a people who are made by God, who God made and God chose, would absolutely just turn from God and walk the other direction and begin to worship other gods and esteem lightly the salvation that God has given us, that brings God to anger. So I want to just bring a message a little this morning on the subject of what makes God mad and why was God's anger kindled. I mean, his anger was kindled so much that he set the foundations of the mountains on fire. Will you understand it or not? And I certainly don't understand all there is. We discussed a little bit in our Sunday school class this morning how the Bible tells us that it's the Lord that breaketh up the depths and causes the dew to come down. We find that God is able to do all of those things, his great power. We talked about earthquakes a little bit this morning, volcanoes that are all over, 600 of them, active volcanoes across this world. Earthquakes that are happening on the increase constantly. We talk about these, and you hear constantly this El Nino winds and all these things. Well, I will tell you, those things are not by accident. Those things are there because our God is giving witness to the earth and to the people of this earth that they need to get back to God. And I'm just simply saying to you, there's all kinds of things are happening. You look at these news people nowadays, they don't know how to handle it. They don't know what to do with it. They're astonished, and they just try to make excuses for it and all these kind of things. But I'm just saying to you, our God is warning us, we need to get back to him. And it's time that we get right with God. It is time that we get people saved, born into the family of God, because I don't think there's much time left. I believe the coming of Jesus Christ is soon. And we just, he tells us to look for him. I'm going to look for him, aren't you? Absolutely. And we need to be busy about the things of the Lord. You know, God has been good to Israel. He favored Israel. I mean, they was a favored nation, you see. And those people walked away from God. Constantly, over again, they walked away from God. Well, God put away the favored nation and turned to the Gentiles. I say to you, yes, they're still his people. There's coming a day when he's going to deal with Israel again. But let me say to you, today God is looking to the church. And it is a favored church. It's out of Gentiles and Jews. But he's looking to the church, and God has given us great favor. The church here in America has great favor because of God's goodness and grace to us. Now, what I'm saying is this, simply this. Are we also going to walk away from God? Are we also going to turn to other gods and other people and pay no attention and esteem lightly the rock of our salvation? Are we going to do that as a favored church, a blessing, the bride of Jesus Christ? Are we going to turn from him and do nothing in which he tells us to do? You see, that's serious business. You see, God has favored this nation, the United States of America. God has blessed this nation. And the reason he's blessed this nation, because it is sending forth the gospel throughout all of the world. And it had in the past has been a blessed nation because it was godly. But no longer is it godly. It's a wicked nation. It's turning away from God. Yes, there's godly people in it. Thank God there's Christians who still love God. But as a whole, this nation is not a godly nation anymore. So I'm saying to you folks, what does God do when those kinds of things happen? Does God just let it go on? Does God just forget it? Does God just say, oh, well, that's just the way it's going to be? No, I say to you, he does not. God begins to move in judgment, and he will move in judgment on this great America of ours because of her wickedness. You cannot kill 1.5 million babies every year in abortion and say God's going to wink his eye at it. You cannot let the sodomites run up and down this nation and march and do all the things by the thousands and hundreds of thousands of them and say God's going to wink at it. It's all right. It is not all right. God's going to move in judgment. Now, what I'm saying is, it's kind of an interesting thing throughout the Scriptures how God uses earthquakes. We're going to deal a little bit about earthquakes here this morning and how God uses them not only to demonstrate His great power, but also He uses them in judgment. So we're going to look at that for a little while. I want you to turn over to the book of Acts, the 16th chapter of the book of Acts. The 16th chapter of Acts, you find it says, and at midnight Paul, that's the 25th verse, 16th chapter of Acts, and at midnight Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prisons were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison awakened out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." And for he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. And of course, and he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And of course, Paul told him to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. But you'll notice here in this portion of Scripture, Paul and Silas was in jail. They was in stocks in jail. They had their feet and their arms in stocks, and they was in the inner prison, and God sent an earthquake and simply opened every door in that prison, and the stocks came off of their arms and off of their feet. He set them free. I'm simply saying to you, this was a demonstration of the great power of God Almighty. And I want you to know something this morning, although it may not be physical stocks that you have on you, but our great God is still able to set you free. He still wants to do that. The Lord Jesus Christ came dying on the cross of Calvary to set you free, that you might have eternal life. But God used this earthquake as a way of demonstrating the power of God Almighty. We find this prison keeper, he looked at it, he saw all the prison doors open, and he said, my, all the prisoners are gone. That meant death to him, so he was just going to go ahead and kill himself. And of course, Paul cried out and said, "Don't kill yourself. It's all right, we're still here." And because of that demonstration of God's great power, he was saved, him and his family was saved. I'm saying there's times when God uses earthquakes just to demonstrate his great power. If you look over in Matthew, the 27th chapter of Matthew, we find another time when God used an earthquake to demonstrate his great power. In verse number 51, in chapter 27 of the book of Matthew, he says this, "And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent." Here we find when Jesus Christ died, the Bible says that veil was rent in two. I don't know how thick that veil was. I've heard anywhere from an inch thick to 12 inches thick. I really don't know how thick it was, but we do know it was thick. But all I know is this, God showed it was him that done it when he rent it from the top to the bottom. Man would have grabbed it at the bottom and rent it from the bottom. But it was rent from the top to the bottom. It was God that did that. And of course, that was a special showing forth of what was happening there as Christ, the Son of God, was dying, his body rent to give unto us eternal life. But you notice the earthquake. Rocks were rent in two. I mean, they was busted in two. He says in verse number 52, "And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints were slept arose and came out of the grave after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared to many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, Truly this was the Son of God." Once again, you see God demonstrating his great power, and men looked to God and said, "This must have been Jesus, the Son of God." If you notice there, it says they saw the earthquake. It was a great earthquake. So God used it once again to demonstrate his great, great power. Not only that, if you look with me in Matthew 28, please, verse number 1. And he says, at the end of the Sabbath, as it began to draw toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven, came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. Once again, we see at the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ here, around the time of the resurrection, we see an earthquake happening. The Bible talks about an angel coming, rolling away the stone. Once again, demonstrating the great power of God through an earthquake. If you would go with me to the book of Zechariah. The book of Zechariah is in the Old Testament, of course. I believe it's the second book back from Malachi. Got Malachi and you got Zechariah. Turn with me, please, to the 14th chapter of Zechariah. And let us read verse number 4. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. And ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azazel. Yea, ye shall flee like as in fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah king of Judah, and the Lord my God shall come and all the saints with thee. Remember again, at the end of the tribulation period, this is talking about Jesus Christ coming, setting his feet down upon the Mount of Olives, and the Mount of Olives is just going to split. There's going to be three different sections. It's just going to go in three different areas. God Almighty, the Son of God, is going to put his feet down, and the earth is going to tremble and shake and divide. Once again, showing the great power of God Almighty. My, we have a great God, a powerful God, and he demonstrates that. See, when earthquakes happen today, most people don't pay any attention to them. They don't give God any glory. They don't give him any honor. They just look at it as something that is happening in nature. But our God is shaking this earth. And a long time ago, he set in his anger, he set on fire the foundations of the mountain. God was mad when they turned away from him. I'm saying because of sin, God is mad. But let me tell you, there's a good story to all of it. We'll get to that in a few minutes. But let me say to you, God is angry. God is mad because men turn against him and away from him, those whom he has made. Go with me to the book of Isaiah, please. The book of Isaiah. Isaiah, the 29th chapter, please. Also, let me say to you, not only does God demonstrate through earthquakes his great power, he also uses earthquakes in judgment. We're going to see this in the scripture. Look at chapter 29, verse number 1. Woe to Ariel, the city where David dwelt. Add ye year to year, let them kill sacrifices. Yet I will distress Ariel, and there shall be heaviness and sorrow, and it shall be unto me as Ariel. And I will camp against thee round about, and will lay siege against thee with a mount, and I will raise forts against thee. And thou shalt be brought down, and shall speak out of the ground, and thy speech shall be low out of the dust, and thy voice shall be as of one that hath a familiar spirit out of the ground, and thy speech shall whisper out of the dust. Moreover, the multitude of thy strangers shall be like small dust, and the multitude of the terrible ones shall be as the chaff that passes away. Yea, it shall be as an instant suddenly. Thou shalt be visited of the Lord of hosts with thunder and with earthquake and with great noise, with storm and tempest and the flame of devouring fire. Does that sound like today? Does that sound like a time that God is absolutely across this nation of ours and across this world, bringing upon this world, showing forth that judgment is absolutely coming? God says, I'll visit them, he said, with an earthquake, with thunder, with great noise, with storms and tempests and the flame of devouring fire. Or you have to look away. I mean, Australia is burning. I mean, all around Sydney. I mean, it's serious business over there. California and some of our areas are burning like they've never burnt before. I'm just simply saying to you, God is visiting this world and showing this world that they need to wake up. And he's going to send earthquakes, the Bible tells us. We'll show that in a few moments. But God's going to send earthquakes on this earth, divers earthquake in many, many places, more and more as you see today approaching. God is doing this even now. Look at Isaiah, 42nd chapter, please, of Isaiah. The 13th verse, he says, the Lord shall go forth as a mighty man. And he said, 13th verse, chapter 42, and he shall stir up jealousy like a man of war. He shall cry, yea, roar. He shall prevail against his enemies. I have long time hidden my peace. I have been still and refrained myself. Now will I cry like a travailing woman. I will destroy and devour at once. I will make waste mountains and hills and dry up all their herbs. And I will make the rivers and islands and I will dry up the pools. If you'll notice here, God says, I'll do those things. I'll visit you. I'm saying to you folks, God is in control of these things, and he is visiting this world right today with some very horrible, terrible things that's coming. We see it all over the world. We see it in our nation. Horrible thing. Storms like they've never had before. All kinds of things that's going on. Not just once in a while. I mean, on a continual basis, we're seeing this thing. You say, why, Brother Ross? I believe because God is visiting us, and he's doing it in judgment. He is going to take care of America that has turned her back on him. I say once again, go with me to the book of Revelation, the 6th chapter. We have here in the 6th chapter, of course, the seals that are opened, the judgment seals that will be opened during the tribulation period. Let me say something to you. I always want to put this in. Tribulation period, you see, the rapture happens before the tribulation period. And I say to you, as Christians, thank God we won't be here during the tribulation period, the 7-year period. We can thank God for that, because as you read some of these things that's going to go on during the tribulation period, I mean, it's devastating. It is horrible. It is terrible. And we need to thank our God that he's not appointed us to wrath. Thank God for that. But you look in verse number 12 of chapter 6. He says, and I beheld when he had opened the 6th seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heavens departed as a scroll when it rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of its place. Did you notice here? Wouldn't it be something to be on this earth? Wouldn't it be horrible to be on this earth when that great earthquake happened, and the sun became as black as sackcloth, and the moon became as blood, and the Bible said the stars of heaven fell? Can you imagine being in that situation, and you look up and the stars are just falling everywhere, and the sun is all blackened out, and the moon looks like blood? All of those things are going to happen in the tribulation period. And God is going to send, as it says in verse 12, a great earthquake upon this earth. And he says also in verse 15, and the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens of the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come. Who shall be able to stand? Do you notice it talked about the wrath of God? And he said, the wrath of that day has come, the great day of his wrath has come. You want to say God does not get mad? That's not what the Bible says. Bible says he kindled a fire in his anger. The Bible said he's mad. The Bible said a great wrath is going to be poured out on this earth because of their treatment of Jesus Christ and their refusal to receive Jesus Christ as personal Savior. That's it. You say, oh, that's a light thing. My friend, that's a horrible thing to turn down Jesus. Died on the cross for your sins. He did that for you, my dear friend. And to turn him down is a horrible thing, and it makes God mad. God is a patient God, and we'll find out about that. He's long-suffering. But I'm saying to you, there's coming a time in the tribulation period, he's going to send great wrath upon this earth. Look in chapter 8 of the book of Revelation. Verse number 2, he says, and I saw the angel, 7 angels which stood before God, and them were given 7 trumpets. These are the trumpets judgments. You have the seals, you see, you have the trumpets, and then you have the vial judgment. But these are the trumpet judgment. There's seven seal judgment. There's seven trumpet judgments. And he says in verse 3, "And another angel came and stood on the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, and he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar, and cast it unto the earth, and there were voices, and thunderings, and lightnings, and an earthquake. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound." This is right before the trumpets ever sounded. I mean, there was a great earthquake that was going to happen. God uses earthquakes to bring upon the earth judgment and to display his judgment. If you'll look over in chapter 11 of the book of Revelation, verse number 13, says, "In the same hour," and of course this is the second woe. There's three woes mixed in with the trumpets, and this is the second woe. "In the same hour there was a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell, and in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were affrighted, and gave glory to God of heaven." And he goes on to say, "The second woe was past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly." At this time it's the great city Jerusalem, and the Bible says that a tenth of it fell, and there was 7,000 is going to die in that one earthquake right there in that one part of the city of Jerusalem. God is sending forth judgment upon his people. Verse number 19, he says, "And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of the testament, and there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail." Over and over during the tribulation period, we find God sends his warning, sends his judgment upon people through earthquakes. And the Bible says great hail. I'm telling you though, we're going to get to an earthquake like no other earthquake. It's going to be like that mother earthquake, that grandma earthquake, like this world has never seen before. God warns about it, says it's going to happen, you see. Let's go over to Revelation, the 16th chapter, please. In verse number 17 it says, and of course this is the seventh vial. Once again, the seven vials, you find them in the 16th chapter, but we're looking at the seventh one in chapter 17. "And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, It is done. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great," the Bible says, "a great earthquake such as was not since men were upon the earth. So mighty an earthquake and so great." And then he says, this is what happens. "And the great city was divided." Jerusalem was divided into three parts. "And the cities of the nations fell." See, I must confess to you, I don't know if it means worldwide ever city fails. I don't know. That may be a region, may be an area where God is sending his judgment. But he says, "And Babylon came into remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath." You want to say God don't get mad? The Bible says he does. The Bible says this is a fierceness of the wrath of God. And he says, every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. I mean, that earthquake is going to be so great, the Bible says the islands will disappear and the mountains will not be found. Again, I say to you, that may be in certain regions over there where God is sending that great, but I'm not going to say it. It may be worldwide. I don't know what it is. All I know is this: the mountains are going to disappear because this earthquake is so great. You remember back when we read the foundations of the mountains were set on fire in God's anger, kindled because of sin? Now let's look on down. And he says in verse number 21, "And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent, and men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceedingly great." Folks, I'll give you just a little bit of understanding of this. You probably already know that. But we're talking about hailstones, not golf size, not softball size. We're not talking about bowling ball size. We're talking about hail that weighs 100 pounds. Can you imagine hailstones falling out of the sky with the weight of 100 pounds? That is some hailstorm. Amen. God said during this time, during this judgment, during this earthquake, God is going to send that kind of judgment. You say, boy, that ought to straighten them out. No, it doesn't straighten them out. The Bible says there that they blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceedingly great. I mean, their hearts were so wicked and so hard, they blasphemed God. Whether in a smaller scale, there's people doing that today. Things happen to them. God allows certain things to happen to them, brings judgment upon them, and instead of getting right and falling down before the Lord Jesus and accepting Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, they blaspheme God. They blame God for all of their problems. But I say to you, God is not the problem. We're the problem. See, we'll want to blame everybody else for our problems. I want to tell you something. The problem lays right here. Right here in the old heart of man, you see. What we need to do is fall down before our great God, our wonderful God, and confess Him as Savior and as Lord of our life. Turn to Him and recognize that He is great. But these people during this time will not do that. They will blaspheme God and talk about Him and blaspheme His wonderful, precious name. So I'm saying to you again, that's an earthquake like no earthquakes has ever been. The Bible said that. I mean, it's going to be a horrible, terrible thing. Now, let's go over to the book of Matthew for just a few moments. Matthew 24. We will then turn to Mark, the 13th chapter, but Matthew 24. Verse number 4. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. Ye that be, see that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. And that's simply the word. All these things that he mentions there, famines across this world, great famines. Multitudes of people are starving to death. We'll go home today to a good dinner. Multitudes have not had a good dinner in months and months and months. They just eat a little here and a little there, and their little bodies are swollen, and they're dying in famine across this world today. God said it was going to be like that. Talked about pestilence. I mean the diseases that men cannot control. We have this great pestilence of AIDS that's going across this world. It's a pestilence they can't find a cure for. We have cancers. We have all of these things. God said it'd be a day of pestilence. I seen the other day that there's a I don't know, like they call it a new disease over in Africa. It's something like smallpox, and I cannot remember. Maybe some of you seen it. They call it something else pox. Is any of you remember what that was, or did you see it? You may not have seen it, but it was called something else, and they showed a picture of this little young boy, looked like he was 8-9 years old, and I mean just sores in practically every area of his body, just all over, and he was down naked down here to this, and just sores everywhere you could see, little sores, and they said it had to do with like smallpox, only it was a stronger, and I can't remember what it was they called it, I just can't recall, but they don't know what to do with it. They're trying to contain it in that area of Africa. They don't think it's got out anywhere, but they did find out it is transmitted through touch. It can be transmitted like that, and they're trying to contain it over in that area, and they say they think it can do that, but I'm just simply saying to you folks, listen, pestilence everywhere. And I'm saying God is sending a warning to this nation of ours, this great America of ours, you better get right with me. You better do right. You better get saved. You better come under the blood of Jesus Christ. He says also in the book of Mark, the 13th chapter, the 8th verse, for nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be earthquakes in divers places, and there shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginning of sorrows. Once again, saying the very same thing that we read in the book of Matthew, but I want to go on over in the book of Luke and read it again. Book of Luke, 21st chapter. Says in verse number 10, Then said he unto them, nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. Great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines and pestilence and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven. Once again, folks, I don't know if you've noticed or not, but boy, we got a lot of people looking up nowadays. I mean, all the flying, the astronauts going up and all the things that's going on, the comets going across. I mean, great signs from heaven, a lot of things is going on up there. God is saying, this is just the beginning of sorrows. I'm just showing you, I'm just warning you, I'm just saying unto you, get right with me. You see, and God is using earthquakes, and as he has in the past and will in the future, he's using earthquakes as judgment upon a people who absolutely turned their back on God Almighty. I'm just saying to you folks, we better listen up. We better hear. God is warning his people as well as the lost of this world. We need to get right with God Almighty. Judgment is going to come greatly and heavily, I believe, to America because of her wickedness. Oh, I know. We've got the do-gooders out there that says, oh, America is great. She's still great. Yes, there's a lot about America that still is great. But America has turned her back on God Almighty. When she doesn't want the Ten Commandments in the courthouses and other places of America, Ten Commandments, God's wonderful word, and doesn't want the Bible in the schools, and doesn't want prayer to be made to Jesus Christ in government places and in the schools of America, we're in real trouble. And I am saying to you today, God is going to do something, God is doing something, and he's going to continue to do something. Why, you say, Brother Ross? Let me tell you why. A fire was kindled in my anger and shall burn into the lowest hell and shall consume the earth with her increase and set on fire the foundations of the mountains. I want to tell you, God is mad at sin. But I want to tell you something else. We have a great, wonderful God who is so patient and so loving and so kind. Here, this great God that created all of the universe, created everything that there is to be created, set afire the foundations of the mountains, done all of these things, is capable to do all, break up the depths and send the dew down and do all those things that needs to be done, that God wants to do, and yet he holds out his hand and says, I love you. And he proved that love by sending his wonderful Son to this sin-infested earth and let sinful, wicked men take him and place him on a cross. Why did he do that, Brother Ross? He done that because he loves us. That's why he done it. This great God who can take this earth and shake it to pieces if he wants to, says, I love you and I want you to be saved. Oh, what a God we have. Folks, I want to tell you, you ought to look and see what's going on around you. I do not know your spiritual condition, but I can tell you this. If you're not saved, you cannot go to heaven. It's an impossibility. You must be born again. The Word of God tells us that. You must be born again. You must be saved. You must come to God through Jesus Christ. It can't be done any other way. See, it's not being just religious. It's not being all those things. It's coming to Christ. And that means repentance. That means turning to God and saying, oh, God, I'm the sinner you said I was. And, oh, I need the salvation you offer freely. And I want to put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I want to tell you, we're living in a country where there is so much pride. I mean, so much pride. Pride, people walk in pride. And I mean, it is horrible. And God does not like that. God is against that. He rebukes pride, let me guarantee you. He's for giving grace to the humble, but he rebukes pride. I'm saying to you today, don't let pride stand in your way of simply giving your heart and life to Jesus Christ. And saying, oh Lord, I'm just what you said I was. I'm an old rotten sinner. Look around you, folks. God's given the warning. It's here. You better listen up. Not just to this preacher. You better listen to God. You better listen to it. He's given warning. It's happening all around us. You better listen. Better listen good. He's coming again. So I say to you today, are you saved? I didn't say you. Are you a church member? Are you saved? Are you born again? Can you tell me 100% sure? I know if I died, I'd go to heaven. Do you know that? If so, rejoice and thank God for it. If not, come down this aisle. Let us take the Word of God and take the Scripture, God's Word, and show you how you can come and receive Christ and be saved. All right, let's stand. As we pray, Father, thank you again today for your grace, your goodness. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the salvation you offer us. And Lord, thank you also for the warnings you give us. Lord, we look around and we see these warnings everywhere. You're trying to reach us. You're trying to tell us. You're trying to warn the lost that they need to get saved. You're trying to tell your people it's time to get busy, to wake up out of sleep and put the things of God first in their life. So God, you help us to heed that warning and do according as you've told us to do. Now, Lord, if there's any unsaved here today, help them to walk this aisle. Help them to come forward here and receive Christ as their personal Savior. And we'll thank and praise you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.